Award-winning British actor and singer Peter Straker presents his one-man Jacques Brel show on Wednesday night in Auckland. The show spans Brel's life and incorporates many of his famous songs, which Peter Straker has also recorded. It's been more than 30 years in the business for Peter Straker, who got his break in the 1968 West End production of Hair. He's had starring roles in Tommy, The Wiz, and even branched out into Shakespeare. After his Jacques Brel performance in Auckland, he's off to Japan to play the title role in Ken Hill's Phantom of the Opera. I spoke to Peter Straker last week about his history with Ken Hill's Phantom.
Well, actually, I did it in London originally. Way back in the beginning of the 90s, when we first did the first production up at the University Theatre in Newcastle.
Well, the original original.
I am the original one, and I'm still alive.
Oh, that's fantastic, Peter.
So this is really...
Because people don't realise the original Phantom is actually the funny one.
Yes, that's the one we're doing, and that's the one... we've never performed here, because I think Lee Grant did it here, didn't he? Or is it Lee Grant or Lee Bogdan Komonosky, but he's...
That's right. Mr. Lee Grant to you, sir.
Yeah, yes. To make it quite... but we'd done it... I did it in... toured extensively in 18 months with under the Macphersons.
Yeah.
Because Stuart picked up the opera. He loved the show so much.
I know. But it is very funny. And all the opera gags.
Yes, yes. Which work very well. And it's going to work in Japanese. They like it as well.
It does my head in that you're doing it in Japan.
I know. Well, this is a... fifth time, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
So they really do love it.
We did, the last time we did it was 9 years ago, so I thought, you know, that was that. And then they phoned, Stuart called up and said, look, the Japanese would like to do it and like you to do it. Would you? I said, well, yes, dig me up, I'm here. So they dug me up and here I am in New Zealand. I've never performed here before, so that's, it's, you know. But, yeah, here we are. And it's a dull, dull day.
I know. It's going to rain some more, I hope.
Yes. Oh, why?
Because it's so humid. It's horrible.
Oh, okay. It's not going to help, though. It just builds the humidity.
That's right. Now, you're from Jamaica originally, aren't you?
I was born in Jamaica, but I grew up in London.
Yeah, because you left when you were, what?
Yes.
Teenager. Must have been a teenager. If you were in the original Hair in 1968, you barely could have been left school.
Yes, yes. No, I was, yes. I was just out of, yes, there you are. But the first show I ever did, I wanted to be an actor. My mother was a leader singer. A Jamaican leader singer, and her parents got divorced and things, and she won custody of the children, so we came here with my maternal grandmother. No, to London.
Yeah.
And I just decided I wanted to be an actor. Well, not decided, I always wanted to be an actor.
Well, how did you get into Hair?
By accident, to be honest. A bit of luck. I went to see an agent who my mum knew.
Well, you didn't have any training as an actor or anything like that?
No, not at all. I didn't want to go to drama school. I said I could do it. What an arrogance of youth.
Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Don't you wish you were like that still?
Yes, it really is. Now I panic about everything. It's really weird when you get so some experience. You think, oh God, that can go wrong. No, so I just went and I auditioned for 9 times originally because she had a young assistant and she said, look, looking back, and I do know her, she's still alive. I just thought she pushed me off to somebody young, so just go and deal with this person. Who won't go to drama school or anything.
But you could actually sing, couldn't you?
I could always sing. I didn't have any lessons or anything, and to this day I haven't had a lesson. I could always sing, because running around the house with a parent who is singing all the time and singing opera...
Singing what, German Lieder?
Yes. You just sort of learn... And she did some sort of the stuff from Verdi and Puccini, you know, all those things. Of course, she used to do little concerts and stuff like that. And kids just pick it up. My siblings and I, we just could sing.
What, do the rest of your siblings work in theatre as well?
No, they don't.
Are they the sensible ones?
One is a painter and the other one is an educationalist.
One's a painter?
Yeah.
So your mother's creative genes really do flow.
They did. Or they are.
So that must have been a wonderful introduction night in London theatre. Late 60s, Hair?
Yes, but didn't know what it was either. Again, looking back, it was fantastic. But when we were going into it, none of us knew what it was. We just heard about it and weren't quite sure what the Vietnam War was about or anything.
No, I mean, the political side of it is quite strong. I remember coming to seeing it when I was 18 in Wellington in New Zealand, full nudity on stage in Wellington at the Opera House. My God, am I seeing what I'm seeing?
At the Opera House.
Exactly. I think it was hugely successful, Peter. I don't remember.
Yes, well, there you are.
How long did it run in London? How long were you?
I was there for about 18 months, or just under 18 months, but it ran in London in one particular, at the Shaftesbury Theatre, is where it started, actually. It ran there for 5 years, and then the roof collapsed. Too much noise. We're not quite sure how. It collapsed, and then it moved to the Queen's Theatre for another 2 years or so. So it was there quite some time.
So how did you progress from that to all the other things you've done? Well, I mean, you got involved in the pop world?
Well, yes. Well, because it's
that was the people you met, was it?
The people you meet.
After the show, probably.
And all of those sort of things. But not so much in here. After that, I went off, and I did an album for RCA and stuff, at the same time as Mr. Bowie was just taking off with RCA Records.
What sort of music were you singing
at
that
stage? Well, I was singing a sort of strange contraption of a, what was called in those days a concept album.
Oh, yeah, we're talking early 70s, the concept, yes.
Yeah, exactly, you got it. And so I did that with Howard and Blakely. And then I did a few plays and stuff because of this acting thing was in my bug, in my genes, what I wanted to be an actor. And then after that, I met a few people, like, because just on the fringes of strange thing with theatre and rock and roll and all that, they all sort of not merge, but you meet people. So I met Elton John, I met Freddie Mercury from Queen, and we became very good pals. And I said, look,
Well, more than good pals, you went to be in some of the videos for songs, and I think you even performed with them on a Barcelona album.
Yes, yes.
In the famous Monserrat Caballé.
Yes, yes, we did that live in Lisbon, yes, in Madrid, rather. And, yes, so I did that, and I just said to him, listen, I want to make a record, I want to be a rock and roll singer, because I went to see some of these people playing. I thought, this is like opera, I love this. It's just a louder sound, and everybody thinks it's modern and things, and it is modern, but you know, opera is bombastic and large like some rock and rollers, so it's lovely.
Quite a few rock and rollers, actually.
Yes, quite a lot of them. So
you're in Tommy. That's the original bombastic rock and roll anthem.
That is exactly. I did.
It's a terrible film.
I wasn't in the film. The stage musical was great. The
original, was it? Because I saw the film, and the film was awful.
Yeah, because they did another version of that subsequently, but that's how I met up with Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey and people like that. So it just, you just sort of, you drift into it really, don't you, if you meet those people and you're doing that sort of stuff.
Particularly at that time, don't you think?
Yes, yes, it was very exciting actually, but again you didn't know. It's sort of looking back, I suppose it's when my parents used to say, you don't remember, you know, those were the good times. You think, oh, what are you talking about?
Particularly London in the 70s and 80s.
Yes. No, it was fantastic.
Indulgence.
Fantastic, yes. Yes. I love it.
I'm surprised your brain cells are still operating.
Yeah, well,
sorry, I don't mean that personally, but, you know, no. Going through that period, I mean, it's such a different style.
Yeah, but for the grace of God go many of us.
Oh, indeed, yeah. So when I read a review from Edinburgh of your Braille show, which says that your voice is remarkably reminiscent of Iron Maiden's Bruce Dickinson, do you go, yo, no, that's not true, or how do you react?
No, I don't think so, because I think Bruce Dickinson is fantastic. I've seen some of their shows, but no. I
not at all like you.
Yeah, no.
No, I wouldn't have thought so, with your beautiful cultured voice, not at all like Iron Maiden.
No, not at all. I don't know why people have to put, why they have to compare.
Oh, it's just the like sort of that. Lack of imagination of reviewers, I think, Peter.
Yeah. You know, so it's nothing like that at all. It's just the way I sing.
I'm talking to Peter Straker, who's performing his Braille one-man show at the Tuning Fork at the Vector Arena in Auckland on December the 11th, which is next Wednesday. Peter, so Braille, you've had a long interest in Braille's music, and you've been performing this show for quite some time?
Well, I have. I mean, ever since when I was very young, I heard some of his music, and somebody, they introduced me to it, and I just loved it. I just love the commitment he has to it, and the passion, and the simplicity of some of it. And that sort of chanson, troubadour sort of feeling. You just go out and just do it without any. And so it's been going on for some time, but I've never. The first time I did a proper show of it was a half hour show with Kevin Williams, director of the Edinburgh Festival in 98 or something, or 97. And just a half hour show, just with five guitars, you know, with bass, just each song accompanied by one guitar. And that worked very well. And then I met up with John Price, director, and we did a bit, another small version of it in Edinburgh again. And then my friend Mel Smith, who is now unfortunately deceased.
The great comedian.
Yes, fantastic man. And we started, he collaborated, we did a proper show of it at the King's Head in London, where we put it with a band and sort of 1.5 hours work. And that went very well. And then last year at Edinburgh, Kevin Short decided we'd do it again. And we tried and we'd shortened the version, because in Edinburgh you can only do about an hour. So we put an hour together and it worked very well. And we went back and did it this year. And so it's done very, very well. So I just asked Stuart if I could do it here, and he said he'd see what he could do.
And I understand you incorporate into it some of your own personal early Jamaican experiences?
Yes, I'm hoping to do all of that, yes. We're going to do it some, the first half is going to be talking about what I've done and where I've been and what countries I've been to and stuff like that, you know.
Well, you've got more than enough stories.
I hope so. I hope they can be cohesive. Either.
Well, that's the skill, isn't it, of the actor in a one-person show, is actually putting the through line there, giving, and I guess that's your own personality that does that.
Well, we hope so.
As opposed to being somebody else, I mean, you know.
Because the whole thing about the show as well is I'm not being Jacques Brel in the bits that I do. I'm just interpreting his songs the way I see them. Again, like an actor would. If you could do how many plays you can do, how many types of Evitas can you do, but you just put in what you bring to it, and people will either like it or they won't.
So you're doing English, all English, or some in
the
French?
All English, and very little French, because I thought of that, and we thought of doing it in French, some of it in French, but you then have to explain to a lot of English people what you're singing about.
Yeah, well, that releases the point, doesn't it? Yes.
By the time you start telling them and then start singing the song, you think, oh, well, good night. I saw such an actor do it once, and I won't say his name, he's quite famous, and it was really dull. And he explained everything in English and then sang in French, and I thought, oh, dear.
That's right, you've got to go through the whole thing twice.
Yes.
And do you do the translation before you sing or after?
Yes.
I mean, you know.
And you've got to you start again by going, ah, take a breath, let's now do it all over again.
It's a huge amount of energy and commitment to do a one-man show.
It is deeply, deeply energetic, especially with this man's music.
But also that sense of, you know, insecurity one has as an older actor, because you know, as you say, all the pitfalls.
Well, I do, and...
You have to be a brave person, is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm hoping I'm going to be brave, and I have to be now, because I've said it now on air.
That's right. You have to be brave and brilliant.